मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। So after 2 years, almost 2 years probably, I am very happy to be with you all. Maybe some of you are seeing me first time, but I used to come very regularly, almost every year, no? But last 2 years probably I couldn't come. But anyhow, it is always to meet the devotees, because it is said that Nahang Tishthami Vaikunthe, there is a verse, Yogi Nang Hridaye Nacha Madbhakta Yatra Gayanti Tatra Tishthami Narada. He is saying, Lord is telling, O Narada, I don't reside in Nahang Tishthami Vaikunthe, in the heaven. Yogi Nang Hridaye Nacha, those who are making austerities and doing pranayama and creating big matted lock in the head, maybe there, but not much. But madbhakta yatra gayanti, where my devotees lovingly call upon me, they are sweet people to me, and there I reside. So wherever the devotees are together, there is a subtle appearance of the Lord. When we call upon God, it is the presence of the Divine is there, but some can feel that, some may not. But it is the cumulative effect of so many minds which brings closeness to the Lord. So this is an wonderful moment to see you all together again. And there is a statement that Ramakrishna said, the bhaktas, the devotees, are like hemp smokers. Hemp smokers, you know, they're addicted to their smoking. So when they start smoking, they don't want to have the smoke for themselves only, one person, but wants others to join. Who are the other hemp smokers? So devotees are like hemp smokers. So it gives us joy when we see each other, because we all love God. And if we chant the name of the Lord, our mind becomes pure, our heart becomes full of peace, and we get the courage and strength to face the challenges of our day-to-day lives, at struggle and turmoil. You can come forward, because some people will come. Why not? So much space, beautiful space is here. Beautiful carpet. Please come forward. Yeah, make your seat comfortable, and others also, if they come, they will get a chance to sit. You need not have to move every time. Come forward, come forward. More, 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 more. Yeah, yeah. So now, anyhow, today I have been asked to start the chapter 8. Eighth chapter is called Akshara Brahma Yoga. That is the all the chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, they are called the yoga. 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 Yoga means what? Yoga means union. The union with what? Union with God. Who will be united? We, who are individuals, who have forgotten God, or who have been disconnected with the Divine, so there we can really connect. Please put in the back seat or front seat, wherever. So don't, I would suggest that don't trouble your legs and get pain, rather be sit comfortably and enjoy. Yoga is the union. So we find that this Bhagavad Gita is a unique spiritual text. Perhaps that is the greatness of the Indian sages, that it is Bhagavan has given a synoptic expression of all the spiritual truths which is available in the Sanatana Dharma. That's why it is called Gita Ashu Upanishadsu. It is the cream of the Upanishads. Upanishads are the cream of realization. And it is not one person have experienced that, nameless saints and sages, the divine reality appeared in their pure heart and they experienced it. So these chapters have been named as yogas. Every chapter is called union of the Jivatman with the Paramatman, the Supreme Self and the individual self. This differentiation makes us ignorant, and because of this separation we cry, weep and struggle in our life. If we keep connected with that, then everything becomes meaningful. As Ramakrishna gave the example, suppose everything is zero in life, all our suffering, all our pain, all our troubles becomes meaningless. This is meaningless. Why we are born? Why we go through so much struggle to learn alphabet? Then we go to the primary school, the grade school, then go to college. How much struggle? Every examination, serious, I can't go to play, I can't go to dance, sing. And then one day you pass, and then you go for a job, and then you get some job, and job situation every day is frightening, when it is coming, when it is going, and then one day you earn some money, have some home, have some things, this, and one day finish. So the point is that, what is the meaning? What is the meaning of our very being here? That is, and we suffer. Life is not joy for us. Most of us, how proud we may be of our achievements and accomplishments, we all know in the heart of hearts that we lack something. We are not complete. We are not fulfilled. So that is the reason this is necessary in our life, to be united with the divine. Then Rabindranath Tagore said that, I am so poor and insignificant because I am away from you. But when I get connected with you, then there is no loss, there is no death, there is no suffering. All our death, suffering and miseries are coming because we are away. And that's why Ramakrishna's simple formula, he didn't talk in philosophical terms. He was a very poor, illiterate guy. So his language is very poor and illiterate. But it is profound with the truth. He said that Ramakrishna said, then life, everything is zero. One zero, you add another. What is the meaning of the two zeros? Valueless, same zero. Another zero in life, that is also third zero. Another zero, it is meaningless zero. Endless zeros of life. That's why people at their crest of their achievements and accomplishments even sometimes say, what did I gain? Even go to the Nobel laureates, go to the PhDs, go to the space scientists, to the ground engineers, to the wherever you go, there is a sense of incompleteness. But Ramakrishna said, put one behind the zero, then the life is meaningless, becomes meaningful. And then put another zero, frustration or failure of life, added with God is 100. Then it becomes 1,000. Then go on, add zeros, it becomes valuable, more valuable, million, billion, trillion. But wipe out one, everything is zero. So this is the yoga. Anyhow, if I go on that direction, then we will not enter into the topic. Okay, let us come back to our topic. Our topic is the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It has been named here Akshara Brahma Yoga. The yoga of the impersonal, imperishable Brahman, uniting with the imperishable reality, which is... This question is this chapter, behind this chapter there is a link from the past chapter which you have already read. The 7th chapter you have read, that chapter was called as Jnana Vijnana Yoga. This name are, as I said, these are the yoga means union. You can get connected with the divine in so many ways. Vishada yoga, even your frustration, through utter frustration, one can get tuned to God. Man, Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna was utterly frustrated seeing that to whom to fight with. And he actually, through that frustration, he came and he was uplifted. So that united him with the Paramatman. So with knowledge, with devotion, with so many ways, we can unite with the Paramatman. So in the seventh chapter behind this, you have, I'm just trying to link a bit little so that it brings a connection. That chapter was called Gyano Vigyano Yoga. Gyano means you know, Gyano means knowledge. Vigyano means knowledge. You can say science.
Yeah.
That is the general sense. But in spiritual life it means, Jnana means intellectual knowledge, and Vijnana means you have digested that, assimilated that. Aparaksha anubhuti, realization. Our all experiences are sense experience. I see through the eyes. Eyes may be wrong, I will see you differently. If eyes are right, nervous system is wrong, I will see differently. If the nervous system is right, brain cells are wrong, then I will see or hear or understand differently. Even all these are true, your mind is colored, you will see differently. Mind, if your intellect understanding is rough, then you will see distorted images. So every experience of us is, according to Vedanta, comes to these layers of filters. Eye, nervous system, brain, mind, intellect, ego, these are all the different filters. And the message what is coming from outside, it reaches us, and then our ego acts and reacts. So I do not know about Brahman, Atman, all this highest philosophy. But hearing, we can have an intellectual concept. What is that? God is what? Who is God? And the reading the Upanishads and the experience of the saints and sages, we can have an intellectual conception. But intellectual conception is nothing. It will not soothe your heart. Intellectually, I can give you a big talk, what is called milk. And define it and give all how much vitamin D, C, all these are there, how much nutrition it carries, this, that. But you remain the same person, not absorbing anything. And suppose we talk about that, it is intellectual knowledge. You see through the eyes, it is intellectual knowledge. But now come closer. You drink, Ramakrishna said. Drinking the milk, then you have your personal experience. And not only experience, your digestive capability is there. Then with that reception, your muscle will be strong, your whole body will be invigorated. So this is very important. Intellectual knowledge has no value. I mean, basic value is there, but it does not soothe the heart. So it should be experiential knowledge. So this other chapter was Jnana, first intellectual knowledge, and Vijnana, experiencing in the direct experience. That means you can say that I have seen God, Ramakrishna said. That is that type of experience. Christ, Buddhas, they have the experience of the ultimate truth. That is called the Vijnana. So, Jnana, Vijnana, Yoga. In that, we have read it, and say I will be just connecting a little bit, link from the verse 24, where you find that there is the whole conflict in the intellectual understanding among all religious denominations that makes a life miserable.
my God versus your God. The Gita is the only scripture where there is no my God, your God. God is one God. And he says that who is God? Who is God? Who are you worshipping? Rama, Krishna, Holy Mother, this, Buddha, Christ, who are these? These are some photos, some pictures, they are like us. You may think like that, but no. That absolute truth, which is beyond time, space and causation, that reality which cannot be described to the mouth, which cannot be sensed to any senses, through any telescope, any microscope, no instrument can give the concept of that. That, when take a human form, the avatars are called, through the human psychology, through the human mind, the highest perception of the divine, highest perception of the absolute is called incarnations. And if you don't know that God, then you'll fight my God and your God. What a foolish and idiotic thing that we cry and fight my religion versus your religion and not knowing who we are talking about. So that is the point here. We have read that, you have read that, that in the 24th verse it says characteristic of who is God. Who is Avataro? Who is incarnation? Ishvara is Shaguna Brahma. That Brahman absolute, which is beyond time space, as I have said, which cannot be sensed through any, which mind cannot comprehend, which understand, intellect cannot reach there. It is an experience. And what is the result? We see the result in Rama, Krishna, Buddha and Christ and other great souls, that they are actually absorbed in that absolute blessedness. Even the pain of death does not touch them. They are above death. Conquered death. So what are these people? Gita said that abhyaktam vyakti maapannam mannanti maam abuddhaya, that those who are fools, they don't understand that I, that abhyakta unmanifest, that infinite, I become manifested vyaktim in the form of a man or a human reality in a human frame. So they don't know. And don't know, parang bhavam ajananta, what is my supreme nature? They see me as a human being, Krishna is saying. They look at me as a human being. And mam abhayam, that I am imperishable, I am unparalleled, there is nothing higher than me. That philosophy they don't know. They look at me, I may say he's a holy man, maximum you can say. Oh, he's a great man, he's a powerful man. That's all. But they don't know that I am that absolute, imperishable. Only that nirguna is the saguna, with quality. That absolute have come down for the good of humanity. And the Shankaracharya said, though he is absolute, but for the good of humanity, have accepted this ignorance in them and have come down in human form. Sacha Bhagavan, Ajo Pishan, Abhayatma, Bhutanam, Ishvaro Pishan, is the master, lord of the universe. Being that also, Dehovan Ivo, Yato Ivo, Kurvan Lakshate, Bhutanu Jigrikshaya, for the good, for the welfare, for the benefit of humanity. But people don't know. We see them as human being. So Krishna says, but I, though my nature, then question comes, why you are not revealing your nature? He says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yugamaya samabhritaha mudho ayam navijanati lokomam ajamabhayam. I am not manifested to every idiot. As Christ also said, is it not? Don't throw away the pearls among the swines. Swines will give any value to the pearls? Do they know? So don't throw away. That's why, na aham prakasa sarvasya. I am not manifested. Even if I manifest, you see, Duryodhana, he manifests his divine form. And Arjuna also. Arjuna was overwhelmed with the cosmic vision. And he, that would, oh my God, You are the Lord. In you with the stars and galaxies and the moon, then everything is in you. You are divine. How foolish I was. I thought that you are my friend. Please forgive me. He was trembling in fear and seeing the glory of the Lord, who was his friend. And what happened with Duryodhana? He said, hey, you are playing some magic. My wife can do much more magic than this. So you know, said, if you say even the same truth you reveal, it is not equally manifested and understood. Na aham prakasa sarvasya. To every person, I am not revealed. I don't reveal myself. Because they are bewildered by my yoga maya. I veil their eyes. Because they are not that purified, so I make them play. As a mother, I want to keep the children play. And keep one doll and versus another doll. The baby is tired with one doll and wants mom, then immediately mom brings another doll so that you be engaged here. So he said that I give this maya in them. And this is being bewildered by that maya, murha. They become befooled. Na abhijanati, they don't know me. Loko, that I am. Ajam. Ajam means birthless. Abhayam, imperishable. That they don't know this divine aspect. They see that I am also human being like them. I was also born. I also have friendship. I also have a hunger. I also have thirst. So what's the difference? Many people really feel very uncomfortable to worship this man as God. But it is the maya of God, and also they do not know what is the glory of this special manifestation. And yet, as because I am the Lord of the universe, 26 says, Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani namantun veda nakaschana. I know Vedo aham samatitani. Otitani means in the past. I know. Who are you? What is your past? I know the cause of the universe, where it come from, how it came, and everything I know. Because I am the cosmic reality from whom everything has come. And that same power I keep with me, being in the human body. So Vedo aham samatitani. I know very well, sammak rupena, I know otitani, my past stories, vartamanani, I know what is now happening, and bhavishyani, what will happen to you tomorrow, or after 10 years, I know everything of it. But, mang tu veda nakaschana, me, no one knows me. Because if they know, then I, see, if you know something, the object becomes small, you become the knower. Knower is always great. Object you know is limited. You are greater than that, that's why you can know. If you know, if you say God, you know God, then God is no more God. That's why God cannot be known, but God can be experienced. You cannot, salt doll, Ramakrishna's example, salt doll tried to measure the ocean and he was moving towards the ocean. I'll measure how big is the ocean. How much is the water? I'll find out everything. So as he went and as he moved towards the waters and dipped his leg, what happened? The leg is gone. As much water is coming up, that much is gone. Gone. When you are totally lost, what remains? Who will say what is sun, what is the ocean? That individual is lost. So, God cannot be measured. That's why I say that I know everything, but they cannot know me, who I am in reality. And because they are connected with the duality of life, Ichvadesho samuthena dandamahena bharata sarvabhutani sammohan sargeyanti parantapa. Ichvadesho, we are all desire, and desire comes I desire something, I hate something. These are the dualities. We live in this duality. And because of this attraction and repulsion in the mind, we are in the cycle of birth and death. That's why illusion. That illusion comes, and I want to be happy and happier, so I want one life. And we are not satisfied with the achievements and success or failures of life. Then it's okay, this life was not good. If I am born, suppose if God comes here and gives us an option, "Acha, what do you want?" Then we'll say, "Okay, sir, I am tired with this life. Next life, if I am born, I wish to be born like this." Is it not the wish of every one of us? So this is the Icha. Icha means the desire. And I don't want this type of pathetic life. Dvesa, aversion. So Icha and Desha, samutteno, out of that arise Icha Desha samutteno, dvandamoheno, duality, and attachment, and delusion. All these being together, Sarva Bhutani Sammoha, the whole created being in the universe, in under the spell of moha, delusion. Even Indra or God or Goddess, down to the crawling worm, all are under the spell of my moha, my delusion. And as a result, they are the coming birth and death. But then what is the use of this study? What is the use of listening to you? What is the use of practicing spirituality? No, but yeshaṁ tu antagataṁ pāpam janānaṁ punna karmanā stedanda mohanir mukta bhajante māṁ dṛḍabhṛtā. But those yeshaṁ tu antagataṁ pāpam, those who have gone above the sinful activities. What is sin? Sin is ignorance. Sin is not thinking of the divine, not thinking about who we are. That jesham, from whose mind to antagatam, it has been wiped out, or it has gone, come to an end of what? Papam. By how? How the pap or the sin will go? Or the negativity. You can, modern translation will be negativity. How the negativity will go? Bring positive. Punna karmana. Do that action, that type of thinking. Change your thinking process. Think in such a way that it brings positivity, positivity, positivity. Try to see God. Try to see God's presence. Try to do charity. Thinking that God is in everyone. Our Upanishad is replete with this idea. Sarvam kallidam brahma. I see this world as a matter, it is my foolishness. But it is all vibrant with the presence of the divine. Isha vashyamidagya sarvai yatkincha jagatyam jagata. Everything is just vibrating with that consciousness. It is you and me, we are ignorant, we don't see that. So, if you perform the panpunna karma, those who are performing auspicious activities, that means noble activities, charitable activities, sense of loving others, sense of not seeing fault with others, all the godly characteristics, if one cultivate those type of activities, punna karmanam, by that karma, antagatam papam, the sin or the negativities of the heart has been cleaned. These type of few people, dando and mohanir mukta, they'll be freed from dandam, means the duality, opposites, happiness and misery, joy and suffering, cold and heat, the whatever, death, life and death. So all these are bothering us every moment. We all cry for our youth, but youth is gone. And one or two people are young people here. But our youth is gone. How much you cry, it is not coming back. Even people are trying to do face lift and cheek lift and chin lift and all these things, but youth does not come back. Even people to try to take out the wrinkles and this and that, but it remains what is it. So, but point is that this is gone. But what is gone? So this, it is to be Dvanda and Maha, this duality. We hang on to the duality. We don't hang on to the truth, which is beyond duality. Those Dvanda and Maha, the delusion, freed from these, bhajante mam, then they think, oh, I have spent my whole life in the futile, effortless effort, enormous effort I have spent for getting peace and happiness through this trip of journey to a pleasure, finding pleasure in life, finding immediate happiness in life. But it is a failure. I didn't get it. So what to search for now? Let me search somewhere. Inside. Or somewhere, wherever. We are all searching for that. Right from a thief to the burglar, to the president, to the who is in the jail, who is a holy man, unholy man, all are searching for only one thing. What? Joy, peace, happiness. What type of joy, peace, happiness? Abiding joy, abiding happiness. We all know what is joy and happiness. You get a good food, and then tongue says, ha 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 ha, and I'm happy. But again, next morning you don't get it, then you get, oh my God, this is the food. The same joy becomes a cause of suffering next day. Because you got a good food the other day, today you are not getting, that is becoming a frustration. But in spiritual life, you had a good meditation today, and if you don't get tomorrow, then you can remember, oh, yesterday was a good meditation. You think your heart soothes and your face changes. So this is the point. We want abiding happiness, abiding peace, and that is called God. So who can search for God? Many people say, what is the need of this? I don't care for God. I said, I don't. Somebody came to me. Why you people talk about God? We don't care for God. Only brother, I don't ask you to think about God. You are quite happy, be happy. Then he felt, oh my God, what is the response? I said, yes, if you are happy in your life, but sometime if you feel any difficulty, then come to me. You are quite happy, you are having money, you have money, you think that money can help you, you have your house, you think that it will help you, you have a car, good car, you have Mercedes-Benz. Okay, keep all these things and stay on. If you it can satisfy you, stay on. Who asks you? But when you will feel that they did not give you and it fails you, then you will have to question, where is that? Or it is all meaningless. Life is all running towards voidness. No. Then you look after these great people whose face shines at the point of crucifixion. Then you say, aha, there is something, you know, which I didn't trace out before. But that is the time, and that will come from the purification of the heart. Antagatang papam, important point is that those whose heart is little pure, only for them this type of experience they can grab. Now, the birth of circle of birth and death, if someone wants to get out, for him or her is a path. Jara marana makshayo mama shrityo yatantiye te brahma tad vidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam. Now we are suffering from jara marana, sarobikara. It is called the six changes of the birth. Asti jayate vardhate viparinamate apakshiyate mrittu. These are the six stages of our life. Everything in the created universe undergoes these six changes. Jayate, osti. Suppose the baby comes in the mother's womb, osti. Even man does not know, baby is there. So osti is first. Then osti jayate, born. Osti jayate, bardhate. Then the baby grows. Bardhate. Then it reaches its one climax point, and then apakshiyate, and then mrittu. Asti jayate vardhate viparinamate. Viparinamate means it takes a round curve, downgrade curve. We call old age, this, that, suffering, pain, etc. And apakshyate and mrityu. It ends, it deteriorates and ends. So these are the six changes. Everything created in this universe have to go through it. The sun is not the same sun. 1,000 years ago, million years ago. It will not remain the same. The earth will not remain the same. It is a change. I, you, everything will have to have undergo this change. So jara, and they have taken two coin words. Jara means old age and marana means the death. To be freed from jara and marana, old age and death, mukti, moksha means the liberation from that. Ye mama sritya jatanti, those who do their spiritual practice or do their karma, thinking of me, that it is God's world. See God, as I said, put one and then zero has meaning. This whole world is full of meaning. If we can put one, then you can, with the chirping of the bird, you can get an inspiration. Think, oh my God, God is so beautiful. Through the leaves, shining leaves, you can feel excited. It is not the physical beauty, whose beauty sparkling, coming out of it. So everything can connect you with the divine. And if it's minus, this flower is today beautiful, tomorrow it will dry out and you will not look at that. But if you can see God, then you can also have some values there also. So it is said, if you want to come out of this worship me, the Lord, jatanti, and they try to reach me, te brahma tad vidu. They know what is Brahman, and they are the knowers of Brahman. And not only they know, don't know the Brahman, they know Krishnam adhyatmam karma cha akhilam. They know what is adhyatma. Adhyatma means adhi atma. Adhi, adhikaran is this body. Who is in this body? He knows adhyatma, and also who knows the whole meaning of our being born and doing all this ceaseless activity. Who is not working? You look at the ant. How much they work? We think that we are working hard. Look at the ant. Look at the bees. How they are running to bring some pollen from here to there and then preparing a nest. How much tremendous activity is going on in every level of existence, creation. What is that? What is the meaning of this karma? Then, if he does that, he also knows the meaning of karma. Akhila karma, the total meaning of this karma and the impact of this karma, he knows the meaning. He also knows, or she also knows, the adhyatma, what is totality of our existence. What is this atma odhi, centering this body? Who is the real person here? And 30th verse, sādhi bhūtādi daivaṁ māṁ sādhi yajñaṁ ca ca vidu ye vidu prayāna kāle ca māṁ te vidur yukta cetasā. So he who knows sa adhibhūtaṁ. Adhibhūtaṁ is a technical term, as I have said, who is in this body residing, adhibhūtaṁ. Adhi daiva, who is the devata around this body, and who is here for which all the jagga, all the activities are being enacted. Je vidu, he who knows all this way, and prayana kale upi, even not earlier, but at the point of death even, if they understand this, then the vidu who yukta chetasa, they become united with me and they know what is me. Why I have come to this connection, but here you see some technical words which is really very difficult to understand. So this chapter ended in this verse number 38, the 7th chapter. Now the 8th chapter is coming. Here Arjuna, very first intelligent student, they don't accept anything whatever is told. Intelligent students don't say, oh, you have said sir. Intelligent student will say, okay, not to just challenge for challenge sake, but to know, I have not understood. What do you see by Adhi Atma, Adi Jagga, Adi Daiva. What are these things? I don't understand. Please, explain me. You say that knowing this, you attain the highest. And that even if you don't know before, at least at the point of death, then you will have not to come back. Then I want to know what these words mean. That's the beginning. So 8th chapter, now talking about, the chapter's name is Akshara Brahma Yoga. Brahman is that infinite, you know. Akshara means unchanging or imperishable, that reality. How to connect with that? This is the chapter. So it's very first question. He said, Arjuna said, if you have the book, you can chant with me. King tad brahma kimadhyatmam king karma purushottama adhibhutan chaking proktam adhi daivam kimuchyate. So it is simply a question. He is asking Arjuna, Uvacha. Arjuna said what he said, king tad brahma. You have said just now, referred that Brahman. What is that Brahman? Kintat Brahma. And you also refer the word Adhyatma. It's a technical term. It is not very understandable now. Tell me, what is Kim Adhyatma? What do you mean by the word Adhyatma? And King Karma. You have said the Karma. What is that Karma means? King Karma. O Purushottama. O Lord. Adhibhutam. You have said Adhibhuta. What is Adhibhuta? Chaking Praktam and Adhi Daiva Kim Uchyate. So, how many questions? What is called Brahman? One question. Second point is Adhyatmam. What is third is Karma. Fourth is Adhibhuta and Adhi Daiva. So, five questions have been raised here. I didn't understand. Sir, please tell me, what are these? Arjuna said that. What is that Brahman? What is Adhyatma? What is Karma? What is said to be Adhibhuta? And what is called Adhi Daiva? These are the questions. And also, question continues. Second, because in the last verse you see, Adhi Jagga, they have used another word, Adhi Jagga, in the last verse 30th. Sadhi Bhuta Adhi Daivancha Sadhi Jagyam. So what is Adhi Jagga? So then second verse says, Adhi Jagya Kathanku Atra Dehe Asmin Madhusudana Prayana Kalecha Katham Geosi Niyatatmavi. Now, Niyatatmavi means those who are Atma, means mind, senses, control. Niyata means control. So, Niyata Atmabhi, those people who have their controlled senses, controlled mind, they, Prayana Kale, at the point of death, Katham Geosi, how they know you? You said, at the point of death, they can know me. If they have such control, and if they know, they will know everything. What is called Jagga? It will be revealed to them. What is Adhi Daiva, Adhi Bhuta, and Brahma also. That means you know the whole spiritual science. It will be revealed. That's why it is said, when knowledge comes, Ramakrishna said, in a dark room, if it is a dark room for thousands of years, darkness does go little by little. You strike a match. In one stroke, when knowledge comes, all darkness go. So all the solutions will come. What is Adhi Daiva? What is Adhi Jagga? What is Brahman? What is Adhi Karma? What is this? All will be known. So he says, Adhi Jagga Katham Ko Atra? Where is Adhi Jagga? And Katham? How is he in this body? Dehyosmin? In this body, where is Adhi Jagga? O Madhusudana, O Lord. Madhusudana means he who is the destroyer of the demon whose name was Madhu. Prayana Kale, and you said, at the point of death, cha, how, katham geyosi, how you will be known by Niyato Atmavi, whose mind is restrained and controlled. That means who are practicing yoga for a time, and how they will know you. So the running translation, you read that, who and how is Adhijagga here in this body. When who is the Adhijagga here in this body? As is Jagga, you know, Jagga is the sacrifice. When you do Jagga, you do it for offering to somebody. When you do Ramakrishna Jagga, then you say, Sri Ramakrishna Swaha, Sri Ramakrishna Swaha. When you do the Durga, you can say, chant the Durga, Mother Durga, you are offering to Durga. So who is this in the body? You eat every day. Who you are offering to? So that is the point, he is putting that question, Adhijagga ka, who is Adhijagga in this body? In this body. And how at the time of death thou art to be known by the self-control. So these are the questions in 1 and 2 verse, which has a relevance in knowing the Lord when they come in the human form. And even Sri Krishna says, people don't understand me. But if they know this, then they will see the glory of the manifestation in the human form also. So these are the link, connection. And Ramakrishna also said, to know avatar, an incarnation, is the sign of highest knowledge. Because those, when we see the incarnations like us, human beings, are born, have hunger, have thirst, have their disease and other things. So if these are the realities, then how can we see that he is the Lord of the universe? It is Ramakrishna gave an example. It is like the king sometimes visits his kingdom in disguise. Earlier good kings, they used to see the condition of their subjects, not through other agencies. Now everything is known through the agencies. But in those days, they were more genuine. They want to, okay, agency is bringing some news, but really my subjects are happy, or really they are suffering from something, I am like their father, I'll have to take care of them. So they used to come. When they come, you know, they don't give up their power of the kingship. Their power is there, they can exert anywhere. You know, the lawyers, and the judges have the power, they can set a court even in a railway station. Yeah, that is the power. I didn't know that. Judges have the capability that they can call a court where he is present. If anything serious comes, he can call a court there and give a judgment there itself. So that means a man, he was in the train, suppose he saw something, he can take positive action there by calling a court there itself, saying that I am the judge, I pass this order. So the king, when he comes, he is a disguise like us, but he has the power to do whatever he wants. That's why so many miracles we find, we call miracle. It is miracle for us. Oh, Lazarus come up, and the Lazarus came up. Huh? It is a miracle. Oh my God, a dead body is coming out. But it is miracle for you and me. For the Lord of the universe, he can just say, okay, get freed. You will be all freed. Ramakrishna said that, that I have such power that I need not have to touch you. I will tell you and you will touch that person. That person will be free. Such is the power. Swami Vivekananda, while speaking in this country, in a public lecture, he felt so much compassion for the audience, and he was just trying to uplift the mind of the people, or thousands of people at a time. And then he was trying to lift them and seeing their misery, let them be free. And he was going like that. But it is not the Lord's will. Lord appeared and said, okay, don't do so much. No, that's fair, because you know they will be crazy. Unless you are prepared, even you are given that, it happened. The direct experience, Vaikunthanath Sanyal in Ramakrishna's life on the 1st of January, you will find that Ramakrishna touched and everyone had the mystic visions, which they never had. And Vaikuntha was asking, sir, you did everything for everyone and doing nothing for me. He said, okay, it will happen, wait. But he said, no, you are avoiding, sir, you should have to do it. So again, it will happen in time, why not give some time? Well, no, you will have to give me. Okay, then Ramakrishna touched. And as soon as he touched, this whole appearance of this world all become different. He's seeing God everywhere. So he went back to home. He could not go back to home. He sees the street as Brahman, the car as Brahman. So he was totally lost. He went home. He was given the food to eat. He said the food plate is Brahman, hand is Brahman. He could not eat. Then he was lying in the bed is Brahman. And his eyes he could not close. With closed eyes he is seeing God. Eyes opened he is seeing God. He went to the office. He used to work in an accounts office. He went in the next day office and office accounts book he opened. And he is sitting over there like that. He got seeing God there. And he's coming in those days tram in Calcutta. And he's standing in the middle of the tram track. And then the tram driver was so angry. He's ringing so much bell, but he's not moving. And then he said, "Kya, are you mad? And they pulled him out of the road. But he saw that is no tram car, it is God. So after 3 days, he got so mad with that, he came back to Ramakrishna and said, "Sir, I cannot hold it, please take back." So Sri Ramakrishna said, okay. Then he touched the chest of the man for 2-3 times and he became again normal. But then he repented. What a fool. Why did I go back to give this back? Had I been mad, that is also not bad. But why did I do that? So the question is that we need some ability to hold certain things. You cannot just pass through this house wiring, which can take 110 volt, 200 volt or something more. You want to 11,000 volt. Do you want to pass through it? What will happen? Boom, gun. So that is the point. That's why it is needed in spiritual life. We need to do spiritual practice. That is the point. Even God can give. That's why God appeared and said, don't do that much. And Vivekananda went into Samadhi. And it is said that it is that picture. That is his Samadhi picture. He became totally absorbed into that. Anyhow, that is a story. So, point is that these are the questions Arjuna is asking to Lord Krishna. Another 5 minutes, no? Okay. No hurry? You tell me how, you give me the time. How long?
10 more minutes.
10 minutes, okay. No.
8:30.
Okay, let us see how you can keep your patience. I don't want to bore you much.
Afterwards, there will be question answer.
Question answer, okay. Then we'll finish by 10 minutes. And then question answer, okay. Or you can put question answer in between also, no problem. Okay, now this Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, this is responding to the question. What is this? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, go to the third verse. Aksharam brahma paramam svabhavo adhyatma muchate bhuta bhava udbhava karo visarga karma sangita. So first point we know, aksharam, that is called Brahman. Aksharam means imperishable. Everything perishes, no? But what is Brahman? There is no destruction. It is not in the realm of creation, sustenance, maintenance, destruction. The six changes. There is no six change. Changes are in the relative. Come to the point of science. Relative, in the relative level there is change. You drive the car 60 miles or 70 miles, it's reference to a static point. Otherwise, speed has no meaning. Two cars going 60 miles side by side, there is no movement. We can talk, chit-chat like that, though we are moving in 60. So it is all relative. So it is a reference point is that there should be, as everything is changing in this constant world, our mind, so look at that. Physical world is changing, undoubtedly you will have to accept it. Go to the microcosmic level, everything is moving and change, electrons, protons, neutrons, or nowadays how many things has come out. It is all in the movement and change. Material object, go to the mind is changing. Physical body, the 1 hour is past, it is not the same body anymore. We are not having the same body. Our so many cells have died, new cells have come up. And our gradually our sense organs are becoming older, old version of the engine. So, yes, and so everything in the physical body is changing. What about the mental body? Mind is changing. Our emotions are changing. Our understanding is changing. I understood one thing differently. After reading this, I understand a little differently. My maturity of the understanding is coming. We call maturity or change. Where is our immature thinking when we are a kid of, let us say, fifth grade? You are not the same. Your understanding and today's understanding, you cannot match them. So you see, after a long gap of time, you can see how much you have changed. But it is, this change is happening every second. It is not that in one sudden moment everything changes. It is changing every second. So if everything is changing, then with what reference to that, which, how do you say it is changing? If you have a reference point, and Vedanta reference point is Brahman, the unchanging reality. And these changes are in the name and form. So Brahman is that which is unchanging reality behind the change. Or you can say, all these things what you are saying in the name and form is permeated with that one consciousness, all pervaded consciousness. If you say ocean is ocean, whether it is rippled or not, changes come in the ripple and wave. But in the ocean, total ocean, what ocean changes? Even sun takes away as cloud, it comes back as water drop again, vapor, water, H2O. So in the cosmic level, there is no change. In the cosmic energy, that's why even science says that energy cannot be created, cannot be destroyed, only energy is only changing from one potential to kinetic to potential, or electrical to mechanical to this to that to that only, but some total of the energy is same. But it is not the energy, it is Vedantic Brahman is energy. Behind that energy, what is that? It is Upanishad says pranasya prana. It is the prana is the energy. What is the inner power behind this prana, which makes this prana vibrant, functioning? So what is that force which is regulating the cosmic macrocosm, all the stars and galaxies? Who is controlling that? Who is controlling in the microcosm? Go to the subatomic structure. Who is controlling that? It is that one consciousness controls here and there. That is the Vedanta concept of real God. If we say who is God, this is real God. Of course, this God does not create, does not destroy. It is absolute. You come down one step by Maya or ignorance, cosmic ignorance, not your ignorance, my ignorance. My ignorance comes when I sleep. If I say this is my knowledgeable state, but that is the state when I go to dream. But this whole universe has been in this form because of the cosmic dream, of the cosmic personality. That's why it is said, he didn't create inch by inch. Let there be light. There was light. Big people, they just say things happen, you know. But suppose if a president wants any big thing to happen, just the thought goes and the already action starts. And we, how much struggle to even to do a little bit thing. Our struggle is more to achieve, to get that achievement. Even to go to some place to purchase a ticket. How much struggle we do. But if you are a big person, special quota is there. Just you, hello, I'm coming. Special car, special arrangement, everything is special. So as big you are, so easy for you to control the nature. Anyhow, so now you understand more what is Brahman. That much is easy. Brahman is that which is aksharam. Only one point. Everything is changeable, perishable. That which does not change, does not perish, does not have any distraction or creation, that is called aksharam brahma paramam. Now comes the second question. First question is solved. Solved means intellectually we understand. We have not solved. It will remain ever a mystery till we realize anything of that. But anyhow, intellectually. And now, swabhavo adhyatma muchyate. Swabhavo is, so means its own, bhava means its own nature, which is adhyatma. Adhyatma means your swabhava. So what is that swabhava? Intrinsic merit or property of a thing is called the swabhava. Like swabhava of the sun. What is the nature, intrinsic nature of sun is to put forth the beams of light. Similarly, the swabhava of a Brahman is to appear as the multitudinous conscious being called the Jivatman. He appears as many. Eko aham bahushyama. One undivided absolute principle become many. How? It is not he has divided in this way. But his consciousness is connected behind you, behind me, behind a tree, even grass, a tree, plant, sun, moon, stars. Microcosm, macrocosm, wherever you go. So, who resides in this? Jivatman. But Jivatman cannot function unless there is the presence of the Paramatman, the consciousness. All these bulbs, you can put thousands and millions of bulbs, but there is an electric connection. Now you can know, with a better example is our internet. You bring a computer, and in that computer there is some
wireless.
Yeah, see, we don't see the wire, but your computer will work. How did it work? So wireless connection is there, no? So it is invisible, but this each computer is working because of the wireless. Previously, had it been 10 years, 15 years ago, we couldn't believe that. One phone line should be there and it is to be plugged here, and then also you have to keep this machine in that air-conditioned room. I remember in India, we have first, in our Ramakrishna mission came, 16, 20 years ago. And then to have a computer is a big thing. That special room, air-conditioned room, it should be clean, it should be connection, special phone, this, that, huge thing going on. And now you take a laptop and go anywhere and the whole world in your palm. Money, it is going to Brahman. But Brahman is already here. That's why you, me, all these millions of the grasses, see? You give little water and see how the grass smiles. But grass smiling is an expression. What is the consciousness behind? That same Jivatman is there. Same Jivatman in you, same Jivatman in me. Only some has gone through one experience and take one form, and now we have taken another form. So this is the, so Odhi Atma, Svabhava Adhyatma Uchchate. What is Adhyatma? Intrinsic nature. So the explanation is the Svabhava of Brahman, what is the Svabhava of the Brahman, is to appear as multitudinous conscious being called Jivatman. On page 453 of this book, bottom last paragraph. So thus, this assumption of the role of the Jivatman is called Adhyatma. Jivatman works because of the presence of the consciousness, that is Odhi Atma. Odhi means centering around this body. What is the consciousness which is promulgating the movement of this body? I am speaking, my hand is moving. Keno Upanishad, exactly the same. Keno Upanishad says, Kene Shitam Prasitam Patati Manaha Kena Prana Pratama Praiti Yukta. So what, which is the power behind my eyes, which allows me to see behind my ears? What is that? That is the Brahman. But in me, it is called the Jivatman. That is the cosmic, and here is the Jivatman. Paramatman and Jivatman. So Svabhava is explained as Adhyatma, individual body. Its dwelling in the individual body is called, its dwelling means Brahman dwelling in the individual is called Adhyatma. So please remember, it's a technical word, but is again and again it will be confused. So it's simple to remember, Adhyatma means that Brahman residing in these individuals. That is the Jivatman. Now, what is that? Bhuta bhava udbhava karo visarga karma sangya. What is karma? You know karma. Karma is action. What is karma? Which is bhuta bhava. Bhuta means anything is born. No? We are born because of our karma. That we know. Our karma dictated us in the direction we have, our good karma, bad karma, our desire which propelled. Because of the karma, our desires grow. As we work, we work for fulfillment of the desire. After fulfilling the desire, when the work comes, work brings again another desire. So this is the cycle. So it is called bhuta bhava. Bhuta bhava means to be born in any body, any physical body. The udbhava karo, which brings out, that is called the karma. So the translation is the offering which causes the origin of being is called the karma. Offering means as you add something to get a result. So karma is such a thing that which you add to get a result, and you want what life you want next, that is called the karma. Third verse, I think, Uma. Okay, we can do fourth next day. You have any questions, then we can go. Or you fourth verse will talk about what is Adhibhuta, what is Adhidaiva, what is Adhijagga. These are the three questions will be addressed in the fourth verse. Shall we end here?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what is the next day? Just give me an idea. Tomorrow is when what is the program tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning in the temple. We'll start at 10:30.
This continue?
Yeah, we'll continue.
Acha. 10:30.
Same. Four more sessions on the same day.
Four. One is done and another four.
Another four we have.
Acha. So we'll have, okay. This is little complicated because of the terminology. We understand the thing, but it is terminology makes it little confused. So if you have any something to talk about, please. Anything? Odhi means around. Odhi is Odhi Jagga. That Jagga, centering whom this Jagga is done. Odhi Jagga. Adhi Bhuta. Bhuta means which is created. Bhuta appeared. Round which this appearance. That is, it is like
Odhi
Poti
is
key. Adhi. Poti
Yes, the owner.
Owner. Mm-hmm. Odhi means who is that body which holds that Odhi, Pati. That means it is Odhi Pati is the king or whatever, a power man who has the power, the control. Any more suggestion from anyone? Pati, Odhi? Odhi, the jagga. You are doing some jagga. That will come next day. Jagga, when you do, for whom you are doing? Around what you are? That means it is like a receptacle, you can think.
Yeah. Like
the
content.
Right. English.
Whenever we have a very good rewarding experience, when we feel it's really something which I enjoy, something which is gives me some kind of excitement, which is not related to any day-to-day life normally, but something which I feel it comes from God. I mean, the feeling of pleasure after some experiencing some joy, and is that a connection? Is that mean that I'm experiencing something which connects me with God, like watching a very beautiful thing, or having a very beautiful, nice feeling? Does it connect me with God?
If you say God is everywhere, so everything connects you with God.
Or if I think like that comes.
It is not thinking.
No, I mean, I presume or assume that it comes from God, that feeling. The feeling of joy, watching a nice or having a good experience.
So the point is that everything is God. And it is a spiritual practice is that to see God in everything. So it is easy for us to see God in good things, which brings me joy, bring me happiness, bring me peace. But if we remember God, then otherwise it is a sensual pleasure.
Yeah, like if I feel something very.
Just give an example. Same word you are telling 10 times. Just give an example. Or point is that anything we get. If you see a beautiful thing, it is your sense pleasure, but...
No, not exactly that.
What is it?
It's a feeling which...
If you feel that it is coming from some other source, then it may be God, but are you aware of that? It is our practice should be, we can practice this, it is called seeing God everywhere. Isha Upanishad teaches us, Upanishad describes that. Every beauty is God's beauty, every joy is God's joy. Anandat hiyevo imani bhutani jayante anandeno jatani jivanti anandam prayanti obhishang vishanti eti. We come out of ananda, bliss, joy, and we live in joy, we die in joy. Point is that, given the example that God is all joy, Satchidananda. You know, that is the definition of Brahman. What is Brahman? Brahman is Sat, means the eternal existence, Chit, eternal awareness or consciousness, and Ananda. So where there is Sat, there is Chit, there is Ananda. So, you see this example, the lamp. Lamp, I see, we say the lamp exists, is Sat. Not only it is giving light or conscious or a fraction of consciousness. It is called chit. And it is also heat. To feel the heat, you have to go close. So ananda is very rare in our life. Chit is seeing things. Existence is easy. You can see everything exists. But to see, it is a consciousness of God manifesting. It is a deeper search. And then deepest search is that to touch the heat, that is ananda. So ananda, in every ananda, it is God's ananda. But we do not know that. We feel overwhelmed whenever any sense organs touch with another object. I am seeing this beautiful flower. Who is not there, who will see that, ha, what a beauty. And it will soothe our heart. But if you can see the smile of the Lord behind it, or some extra sensual experience, it is a question of practice. It may come spontaneously to us also by God's grace, maybe a glimpse of that sometime. But our spiritual practice means we will have to see the divine in first in the good things, must in the noble things, rising of the sun. Our ancient sages taught us Gayatri Mantra. It is Brahmin boys learn that chanting. It is the Savitri Devata is coming up, removing all the ignorance, replica of God, the Brahman. See God there first. See God in the beauty. See God in the moon. See God in the Gita's chapter, is that 10th chapter? Wherever any jat jat bhivutimat satyam srimat urjitam eva va, wherever there is any beauty, wherever there is any grandeur, wherever there is an extraordinariness, no, it is my power manifesting. So if we create a new vision in us, it is actually God. But because it is coming through the senses, it gets diffused. Its intensity becomes little. So when we can see the thing in the right perspective, without any coloring of our emotions and mind and intellect and all these things. That's why it is a practice. It is called seeing the divine presence in everywhere. It is a practice constantly, day and night. And actually, when you eat and find joy, it is also God's joy. Even pain, you feel the pain, it is also God's presence. A dead body does not feel the pain or the joy. Though the brain cells are there, the body is there, eyes are there, ears are there. You praise. Just a person who is dead, you go and praise, ha ha ha, you are so great, and cry and weep. It will not smile, it will not respond to you. But you say something now, I am alive, I will be high up in the heaven, or I will go down into the earth. You're telling me so bad. I'm that. I said, how you feel? That is also God's presence, consciousness. Without the presence of consciousness, it is impossible to feel sorrow or joy, happiness or misery. It is both impossible. That's why it is said, every experience. Panchadasi is a great spiritual Vedantic book. It says, Anubhuyante yena tam ko nivarat. By which you experience, I see you. By which? Not to the eyes. Something behind. That Brahman, Adhyatma, that Atman, that light. How you will ignore that? That is all that I am shining. So, we mistakenly say, my ego comes. You went to a big officer's office, and there are many guards. Suppose you go to the governor's place. Not Indian governor, not here governor. Indian governors, if you want to go, there will be many blockages. One guard here, another guard there, third guard there. Here you can go and handshake with the governor, not big Yasu. Even you can go to the president and have some greeting. But the hierarchy is more in the... So there you will find the guards are more powerful than the governor himself. So here also the Lord, the governor is inside. He is the conscious entity. He is the light, eternal light inside. And his guard, bodyguard, the first guard is ego. Second guard is intellect. Third guard is your mind. Fourth guard is the pranic energy. Fifth guard is the physical body. They block it. He says, I am done. I did it. And he, under his conduct, everything is going on. He is the real boss. And he is taking the credit. Body takes the credit. I did it. I thought that way. Because I visualized this thing, that's why it happened. Who is the real guy? I, nobody knows him. He sits in the inmost recess of the heart. That's why it is through meditation we want to see that. But we can practice this. Every day we can practice and praise the inner Lord. Ramakrishna said in the Dakshineshwar garden house where he was worshipping the mother Kali and all these people, say that everyone comes and praises and says, ha, what Rani Rasmuni's garden house. Nobody says it is mother, divine mother's place. No one remembers mother, divine mother, for whom this garden. People are talking only of the earthly possessor of that temple garden, this manager. So this is the way. Most of the places it happens, and that the real person remains unknown, and fake people come and beat their drums. I did it. Of course, it gets a battering also. Suppose I say I did it. Okay, when suffering comes, then you suffer. God does not suffer. Is it not? That story you know, there was a gardener. There was a Brahmin. And the Brahmin had a beautiful garden. He created with so much labor. So, brought all the beautiful dahlias and roses and all these beautiful flowers. And one day what happened? A innocent cow got into it and he started seeing the beautiful fresh leaves. He started chewing and eating like that. And that gardener, naturally he wanted to drive that cow out, or was very angry and threw something and it hit the cow and the cow died. So the cow died, then it is, you have incurred sin, innocent. Why you did not give proper pence? It is your fault. And he killed. And Hindus believe the cow as divine. Not cow as divine. Hindus believe everything as divine. People don't understand these people who are belonging to other religions. The Hindus are idolaters. Hindus are not idolaters. Hindus then say, oh idol, I love you. Do they go to the temple say, oh photo, I love you? We don't say that. Oh God, is it not? It's a symbol, symbolic worship. So Hindu spirituality is so great, they can see divine in the cow. They can see divine in a stone, piece of stone. They call Lord Shiva, Shiva, Shiva. A piece of stone, they call Lord Narayana. They can cry and weep before that. But they are not saying, oh stone, I am crying before you. They say, oh Lord, I am crying before you. So these are all the spiritual practices, symbolic worship. So that's, he actually then killed it, and naturally the karma, we are talking about karma, karma follow will come. And then some sin occurred because he did some negative karma. The story goes that the Yama, the god of death, has his messengers to take them to the hell. But Hindu hell is better hell. because it is temporary hell. Christian hell is frightening, my God. Once you go and you cannot come out. So what happened? So
why it is temporary hell?
Because you do it some bad karma, you go to jail and suffer for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years according to your activity level. And then you are released, and what will you do? You'll have to be born again to do some good karma again. Or even if you go to heaven, heaven is Hindu heaven, is not permanent. You go to heaven and you can, heaven means one star hotel, two star hotel, three star hotel, five star hotel. The quality is higher and higher, you know. So we have seven hell, heaven, seven levels of heaven. You did good work, best work you do. You're the highest heaven, 5-star hotel. All food, good food, youth, this, that, everything is on. 1-star hotel, okay, you know the, what is the motel. Anyhow, and hell also, you did small bad karma. Okay, you were imprisoned for some days. Huh? You did so much bad karma, you go to the lowest hell. Anyhow, so now the messenger of the Lord of Death has come. I said, hey, hello, you did this sinful act. Come, we are come to take you to hell. He said, no. Why do you come to take me? I didn't do anything. Hello, you didn't do? He's a philosopher. Yeah, he's a intellect is using in a negative way. He's saying, I didn't kill. Well, who killed? My hand. Your hand? Your hand and you are not same? Well, no. Hand is controlled. Again, Hindu philosophy. Hand, all the hands are controlled by one divine force. It is called Indra. Yeah. So, your hand, my hand, every hand is controlled. Every organ, Hindu philosophy has decided, sages have given the consciousness behind the controller of every individual organs even. So, the hand has done. So, who dictated the hand? Indra. God Indra. So I have not done. So he was in trouble. He is a messenger. He has to take the soul to the hell. But he has put a big lawyer probably. He put him into trouble. He said, I didn't do, you get out. So he, poor man, went to the Jama, the God of Death again, and said, sir, he is saying that he didn't do it. Indra has done. Well, go to Indra, then catch him. Then he went to Indra. Indra said, what's the matter? Why did you come to me? I'm the God of gods. Eh? He said, you have killed that cow. But I have killed that cow? Yes. That Brahmin said that you have killed because you are the god of the organ which is called the hand. Well, is it so? Okay, give me a little time. So he came down, and Indra came in a disguise, and in a very Brahmin body or somebody he has taken. Gods can take any physical form they like. So he came, and he entered into the garden, and seeing the beautiful flowers, lotus, these, that, he sees playing. What a wonderful garden! All choicest flowers are here. Oh my God, who did it? And that man came out. He said, I have to bring this from this place, this special dahlia, and this is from the rose there. They said, who planted this? Yeah, I did it. So he went on praising himself. I did that. Then Indra took his divine form and said, you rascal, all the good things you did by your hand, and you are not praising that Indra has done, and only you killed a cow, and the sin, you go to Indra. So better go. Then the story is that means it is how we escape our responsibilities. That is not. You are to... That's why karma theory in Hinduism is a great responsibility. It is not to be frightened. But if I have done something wrong, I can undo that. That's the point. If something negative I have done, I can do something positive. Yeah. So you are flying a kite. You have endless thread you have released. You want to bring it back? You counterclockwise, you turn it. It will come down. You cannot say, someone will do. This is my karma, I have done. Your karma, you have done. So it is to take more responsibility and really be responsible for our life, our spiritual life, our this life, our afterlife. What we want, it is up to us. Karma theory gives us a strong ground that you can do, you can undo. Because you have done it, you can undo also. So this is not frustration. not fatalistic. Oh, it is my kapal, what shall I do? No, it is my kapal. But who created that kapal in fate? You created that kapal. We have forgotten that, of course. When we did it, we forgot that. Now, after so many days, we have forgotten. But it is, if we analyze the thing, it is true that we have, we are the makers of our own destiny. That is the point. And take the responsibility. Sri Ram, that's why there is a big question. Every time people get into confusion, it is God, God is God has created everything, God is running everything, then what can I do? Okay, if you have that much faith in God, then you will not put a step without the suggestion of God. No, you will get the instruction. Ramakrishna could not put a step without the order of the Mother Divine. You will ask every question inwardly. What shall I do? What shall I do? And guidance will come. But we are doing everything by our impulse of our ego and our own craving and desire, and only saying, God is doing. That is a blasphemy. That to go reach that point, we are to do much selfless activity, divine thinking, study of the scriptures, bhajan, singing, or anything which widens your heart, which creates love for others and selflessness generated. So these are the things which are needed more. Okay, now the call is coming for our next item, food. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you all. We'll hope to see you tomorrow again.